opening night! The show has just let out, and a small troupe of thespians is headed for your home for an encore. Only now it's your opening night, and being a hostess is just like being the star of your own sold-out show. If you've prepared correctly, you can expect rave reviews, a must-see, an extended smash hit. Make sure to have the affair scripted, leaving some room to improvise. Don't be upstaged by surprises, and you'll be guaranteed to have no walkouts for this performance. Take the opportunity to cast some of your guests as backstage helpers. Although the program consists of do-ahead dishes, serve at room temperature, you can always use an extra hand behind the curtain. The guests have arrived and it's time to seat the house. Curtains, appetizers to half. Appetizers go. Fade on appetizers. Cocktails go. Someone asks for a rum punch dazzler. Line, cue main course. Main course go. Don't rush it. This isn't a speed through. Relax, just like you've rehearsed. Cue ambient music. Lights to half. Settle in tableau. Fade up on small talk. Fade out on general laughter. Strike dishes. Wait for applause. Bow. Encore. Coconut cream pie. General conversation. Ad lib. Fade out music. Strike dessert plates. House to full. And curtain. My suggestion box. Ask someone to play meat carver. It's always a good idea to keep some non-alcoholic beer in your fridge in case someone is on penicillin or in the program or has been banned from drinking at your parties. Stock your neighbor's apartment with basics, alcohol, ice, corn chips, so when you run out at 3 in the morning, you know whose door to knock on. Menu for this evening's performance. Starring, spiral cut ham. The antagonist, macaroni and cheese. Baked beans. Potato salad. Tonight's understudy, beef tenderloin. Thumbnail review. Crab balls and stuffed mushrooms were scene stealers. Good in a supporting role, the biscuits. Nice turn as foreign dignitary, the Dijon mustard and horseradish mayonnaise. The debut of the heavyset cheese ball was surprisingly crowd-pleasing. Notes on the night's performance. Normally, in a situation where 17 people are coming over to my house late evening, I would plan a menu like the one I prepare for brunch, which consists mostly of do-ahead dishes served at room temperature. But because I was lucky enough to manipulate the help of a good friend, my do-ahead dishes were done ahead while I was at the theater. This meant a meal that could be served warm as a guest arrived that didn't rely on a knife to eat. Now, I personally wouldn't have chosen this menu because it required a lot of attention as far as keeping the food warm and fresh, and because I needed a lot of help. But then again, this is exactly what I liked about it. It was different from something that I would normally do. Also, because this was an evening performance, the menu might have been a little heavy in the cheesy sense. But it worked to our advantage because we were up all night waiting for the reviews of the show that we had just come from and my guest had performed in. This meant plenty of awake time, giving all that cheese ample time to move through the system.
Damn that burrito.
My suggestion box. If you write someone a fan letter and request an autographed picture, you should include a self-addressed envelope. And once you have heard from this person, there really is no need to write them back unless you were asked to. Backstage etiquette suggestions. Most people know the basic rules of etiquette when attending a play. Arrive on time, no candy wrappers. As far as backstage etiquette goes, most people seem to be a little murky on what sort of behavior is appropriate. Be positive with opinions of the performance, even though no matter what you say to an actor, he is not going to believe you. Actors are the most insecure people on earth, next to battered housewives. They become upset if you don't stay after the performance to praise them, but get upset if you inconvenience them by coming into their dressing room to offer them praise while they're still trying to get out of their ham costume. I always try to find something positive to say to an actor after a performance, but I don't say something like, "You looked so good on stage," or "I can't believe you have to do this four times a day," or "Geez, how did you learn all those lines?" The biggest mistake you can make when talking to an actor after performance is praising another cast member. Trust me, they do not want to hear it. The truth is, going backstage is always awkward. I prefer to send a note off the next day or to wait and call them so we can talk about every detail of the show. If the ham in the show is your friend, let them know you won't be staying afterward, because they will assume you hated their performance if you just leave. When exiting the theater, don't talk about the show until you are a good distance away. You don't want to be overheard saying something that might hurt a thespian's feelings. You never know who's listening and how they're related to that ham in the play. Spies.
Extra, extra!
It is best not to whistle backstage because the stagehands use a whistle as a cue to drop heavy sets on stage or lift sets using sandbags as a counterweight. So if you whistle backstage and are standing in the wrong place, there is a good chance of getting a 5-ton set or a sandbag dropped on your head. Better yet, if you don't really have anything nice to say when going backstage, maybe you should whistle.
Grieving.
We were in the bathtub and I felt a cyst on his good testicle. I insisted on taking him to the hospital even though he protested, saying it was nothing. After a thorough exam, it turned out he was right. It was nothing. On the way home, he was murdered. I'm not allowed to talk about the case, but I can say this. Had I not forced him to go to the hospital, he'd still be alive today. I'm sure we have all heard stories like this before, tragic tales that could make even the most cold-hearted wail. There is no bigger hospitality challenge than entertaining for the grieving. They are just so sad. One must take a practical approach. When all is said and done, entertaining for the grieving is really not much different from normal entertaining, except for all the sobbing. Often, tragedy occurs suddenly, which doesn't give the host much lead time to prepare. On these occasions, I think potluck is the way to go. Most people want to contribute when someone else is grieving, but often they are unsure of what to do. I know when I hear the words, "It was a freak accident," I immediately think, "Okay, I need to roast a chicken." I always encourage guests to contribute food for the table and try to subtly orchestrate the menu because I wouldn't want 12 people all showing up with 4-alarm chili, especially if the guest of honor is having trouble keeping food down. Once the food has arrived, I display it in a way so people can help themselves. It's all about the flow of the table. It is also a good idea to have a wide assortment of alcohol on hand. Drinking kills feelings. Make sure that you crack the seal on the liquor bottles ahead of time, because mourners don't want to feel inhibited about diving in. I always try to keep what I call a grieving kit tucked away in my closet for these occasions. It's like a first aid kit for the brain. The grieving kit. It's a thoughtful idea to personalize a handkerchief for the grieving person. So if the name is Jocelyn Ellen Wurtis, a nice hand-stitched J-E-W on a hanky would be so touching. Also in the kit, Xanax, an assortment of handkerchiefs, a laminated picture of a religious figure or icon, candles, a mixtape of sad songs, a tuft of hair from the deceased, extra Xanax. When one is in the company of the grieving, one must be considerate of the words we choose. So often we want to say something comforting to the grieving, but are stuck for something to say. Appropriate things to say. My sympathy to you. He will be missed. He had a lot of friends. At least they didn't suffer too much. She lived a good life. Be careful what you wish for. Inappropriate things to say. He's better off now. Oh, you'll meet someone new. Speaking of which, I know this guy who works at the Wax and Wicker. He's got a green card. Only the good die young. I know exactly what you're going through. I mean, I didn't lose my husband to a boating accident, but I can just imagine. Give it 3 weeks. You shouldn't grieve more than that. Was he drinking? Where were you when this happened? He told me you two split up. Did she smoke? He had a secret life. A living will. Everyone should have a living will. You can pick one up at the post office for peanuts, and it's good because all your belongings will go to someone specific instead of going to a holding area for a few years. If you are grieving, have someone stay at your house while you are at a funeral parlor because crooks will comb the obituaries to see who has died and break into your home to steal things. The last thing I want to do is add any more stress to someone who is grieving, but you should know you are a ripe target. If there is something someone has given you and you don't like it, get rid of it while they are still alive. Otherwise, if you don't, then you will only be hanging on to it out of guilt and clutter piles up. Also, it just encourages them to give you more of the same. Ladies' night. Rawr. Shh. Put your head back and shut your eyes. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Although this will sting a little, imagine a beautiful outdoor water park with jet sprays. Shh! Let all that luggage go. Leave it at the door. It's not invited here. Relax. Calm. Calm. Hold still. Fight it. Fight it. Hello, I'm Amy Sedaris, and welcome to my night of beauty, an evening of tossed salad, spaghetti, light drinks, and dry exfoliating. Tossed, light, and dry are the key words here. This sofa will act as my clinic. I call it patina. That's me with the low-cut uniform and pantyhose. Can you smell all that perfume? Excuse me if I get my ample bosom in your face while I take a closer look. Oh my, we've got our work cut out for us, don't we? Let's get those shoes and pants off. Why don't you just fill out this index card so I'll have your information on file while we discuss the major pitfalls of your face? Excessive sebum? Check. Pockmarks? Noted. Sun damage and freckles? You betcha. And then there's that growth. Why don't you relax while I fix you a drink, a large glass of warm water with a slice of lemon to help you detoxify, before I retire to my lair to assemble the right mixture of creams, lotions, emollients, and perhaps a lancing tool so we can tackle your situation. While I'm gone, don't forget to fill out the back of this card as well, especially the part about dating status, including the last time you had, relations. It matters. I'm back. I hope I wasn't gone too long. You're not my only customer. Why don't I change your drink to something more liquory? Is the music too loud? I hope you like it. I call it my ambient environmental music. I have a bootleg copy for sale. I'll give you a street price. Let's get back to your face. No time to lose. It's time for CEP, Cleanse, Exfoliate, Purge. Bye-bye, blackheads. Hello, red welts. Next, I'll apply a mask. I bet that feels good the way I'm rubbing on the mud and massaging your face. Good. Completely coated. Now, I'll place two chamomile tea bags on your eyes to rejuvenate the sockets. I'll set a timer. Generally, you want to give a mask 10 to 20 minutes to dry as it absorbs the many toxins from the skin and soothes it from violent purging. For you, we're going to go 45. It's me again. I couldn't tell if you were dozing or the liquor was kicking in. Just to hedge our bets, let me fill your glass again. I'm applying warm water to your mask, which will soften and then remove all that chalky residue. What we'll be left with is squeaky clean skin, and of course, that growth. Next, I will be spraying your face with homemade grapeseed water. This does nothing, but it's included in the cost. It's lotion time. I will now apply a special roux of moisturizing creme that will hopefully reverse the severe drying effects of that mask. Let's just get this slathered on good and thick. There you go. Now we'll just pat you down with a tissue to sop up some of that excess moisture. I always use cotton balls because tissue leaves embedded fibers in your skin. There you go. Perfect. Now you have about the same amount of grease as when you walked in. I'm going to wash up and clear my roll cart and return with a fresh salad and some other healthy delights. While you are eating, I will fill out an evaluation slip and suggest purchasing some of the products I used on your face, which are for sale at street prices. Tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm going to put you on something that I want you to take 3 times a day, and it's going to make you feel better about yourself and where you're going in life. I don't do happy endings, but I can recommend a guy who does. He works at the Wax and Wicker, and he has a green card. Here's his number. Here also is a brochure detailing some other services I provide: hair washing, waxing, foot massage. You might want to consider returning for group beauty night, also known as ladies lockup. Some of the events will include breast and pelvic exams on the house, as well as tube tying, hair removal, and genital cleansing. You can also expect a full menu. Oh, and lastly, on the way out, don't be afraid to become intimately acquainted with my tip jar. Crabs. Crabs are light brown, small, and flat. They need your blood to survive. Crabs live in the hair of your armpits, chest, eyebrows, and eyelashes. For more information, go to your local library. The Stain Box. Blood stains, ladies? Use a bar of soap and wash garment under cold water. Or, if the stain has dried, use some hydrogen peroxide. If there are old stains, go shopping. Vaginal cleansing. If one were to take a close, almost clinical look at your vagina, what would they find? Would they be impressed? If it's well maintained, chances are better than an average that the answer will be a resounding yes. What is the best way to maintain a vagina? Believe it or not, it is as simple as warm water and a little elbow grease. There is no need to bother with douche or deodorants. Start by separating the outer lips of the vagina and tugging back the hood of the clitoris, exposing all those unpleasant secretions that collect around the glands. Next, a liberal dose of clean, warm water teamed with a spirited scrubbing, taking care to work the folds, and the results will speak for themselves. Our body secretions and smells are an unfortunate part of our bodies, but if you wash on a regular basis, you will smell and taste good. Trust me. Or better yet, just ask my doorman. Tips from Bettina. To keep color on your lips when your lipstick wears off, you can stain them first by using a cherry popsicle. Just keep one in the freezer. And or use those little pink dental plaque tablets. And just put it in your mouth, chew on it, and then just rub the rest of the tablet over each lip, and then your lips will stay pink. Then put your lipstick on, and then when your lipstick wears off, that stain is still there, so it looks like you always have lipstick on. Green toenails? You're going to take 1 cup of table vinegar in a Tupperware basin. Soak the toes daily, and this will help you get rid of that green cyano pigments created by that Pseudomonas bacteria under the nail. Now, of course, you got to go see your dermatologist, but anyway, this is for if you're at home. For dry, cracking toenails and or fingernails, apply household Vaseline before bed to all the nails and eat Jell-O brand gelatin. It's better if you get the orange. Your nails will be stronger and better and glossy in just 2 weeks. Now, Dr. Colbert in New York City gave me that advice. You can easily curl your eyelashes using a small espresso spoon. Press your lashes along the edge of the spoon using your thumb. The heat from your thumb will help you set the curl. Now, do not do this with a pencil. I did this, it was a mistake. Do not use a pencil or a pen. How to iron your hair. You're going to need an iron and an ironing board. Place either a piece of silk or brown paper bag, based on your income, between your hair and the ironing board so you don't burn it. Set your iron on low to medium and press briefly. Section hair and repeat. I got this tip from two different people. I got it from Orlando Pita, the hairstylist, and Karen Thorne, the astrologist. Pointers to help you sleep. Darken the room. Take a hot bath. And remember, a shower pricks you up and a bath relaxes you. Lavender oil or oil sachets. Red wine. A tincture of valerian root. Don't worry about staying awake. Wig advice. Make sure your wig is always secure. Now, just a few years ago, there was a woman in Florida praying to God in hopes that her town would be safe from the hurricane, and a strong gust of wind came and blew the wig right off her head. When using hairspray on your wig, use the same amount that you put on your own hair. Tips from beauty expert Jim Crawford. You can use old standard milk of magnesia on your face as a mask. This really, really works. It will appear like a liquid clay, and it contains lots of minerals that helps you restore and detoxify your skin. A Cuban woman told me this also. I did this TV show once, and this Cuban woman, her skin was flawless, and she told me about that she put this milk of magnesia on her face. Sour cream is a soothing agent and is a good remedy for razor burn, so you can use it under your arms or on your face, bikini line, or even your legs to help take away the stinging and the burning. Remember to always work in an upward motion when applying any product or moisturizer. The skin under the eye is the thinnest part of the body, and it needs extra attention and care. You can use the old home remedy of salt for oily skin and sugar for dry skin. Use them when removing a mask to help you exfoliate.
Entertaining the elderly. I'm old.
There is a lot to consider while entertaining the elderly. For one, they're old. They don't like quick movement and they can't hear very well. I don't mind pointing out some of the failings of old age because we're all headed in that direction. Unless, of course, we take our own lives before we become a burden. I'm not advocating suicide. Oh wait, I guess I am. All right, fine. Let's just all grow old together. When I waitressed, I noticed it was common when old folks came in for the yellow plate special for them to want the music turned down and the heat and lights turned up. I try to keep this in mind when I entertain the elderly. It's never good to stereotype. All of your guests are individuals with different needs, except in the case of the elderly. You can pretty much count on all of them not liking loud music and being cold. Elderly people like to eat early. Plan your schedule around them. Nobody wants to pre-chew a roast beef at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but these are the concessions you will be making when entertaining the elderly. Bland food that is easy to chew and digest is a good idea, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be visually cheery. Mix colors and use festive dishware. It's important to interact with the elderly after a big meal. This is touch-and-go time, and they need all the stimuli you can muster. Keep them engaged, or it's the express train to Nappyland. Toss a balloon back and forth. Offer to treat them to a foot soak in an Epsom salt bath. Plant seeds. Read them a story or pore over a photo album and reminisce. Thread some needles for them to take home. But by all means, keep them engaged. Just as you need to childproof a home when young ones are invited, considerations need to be taken when having the elderly as guests. Make sure the rugs are secure and the traffic patterns are clear. If you have a small dog, enclose him in a room so that he doesn't get under a walker or jump on laps. With all the special attention needed, one might ask, why entertain the elderly? The answer is this. Elderly people have much to offer. They have years of experience stored in their brains. Of course, it might prove difficult getting it out. I suppose the most important reason is soon you will be in their comfort shoes. And wouldn't it be nice to be invited to a party?
Foods that are good to keep in mind when cooking for us. Just remember the word brittle. B as in banana. R as in raisins. I as in ice milk. T as in turnips. T as in tomato juice. L as in lentils. E as in escarol. Brittle.
The stain box. You can use two denture cleansing tablets to clean your Corningware by filling them up with water and dropping the tablets in for about 45 minutes. Gift suggestions for the elderly. Your time. Offer to walk their dogs. Take their cat to the vet. Rake their leaves. Take down their Christmas tree. Discard their jack-o'-lanterns. If they know another language, encourage them to practice it. Crack their ice cube trays. Listen to them when they talk about the past. This will also keep them from talking about all their aches and pains. You learn more by listening than talking. I know I already said this, but maybe you'll hear something they didn't say. The older they get, the more they want to go to church, so offer to drop them off and pick them up. Comb their hair, style their wig. When you get to play nurse. I wanted to be a nurse because I liked the TV show Julia, and I also liked how black nurses got to dress. Growing up, our next-door neighbor was a roaming nurse, and she would go into old people's homes and give pelvic exams because they had a hard time getting to the doctor's office. She would gather all the children in the neighborhood and show us educational sex education film strips. She also had these plastic see-through round stackable containers the size of crab cakes in her refrigerator to keep patients' throat cultures in. She had a habit of putting her hands on her hips and wiggling them around. It was fun to imitate her, and it felt good to know that a nurse lived next door. Maybe this is why I like to play nurse. And nothing gives you a better opportunity to play nurse than entertaining for sick people. At first thought, it might seem like a difficult challenge, entertaining sick people, and this is confirmed with a second and even third thought. But in my eyes, it's an opportunity to play nurse. I'll even go as far as to wear my nurse outfit just to lighten things up. Anybody could entertain a room full of young, attractive, healthy people, but get a room full of sick people together, and you've got a tough audience. We all know someone who is ill. Whether the illness is mental, emotional, physical, or psychosomatic, these fun-starved undesirables have as much right to entertainment as the healthy. Before your festively frail guest or guests arrive, make sure you create an environment that feels warm and safe, almost womb-like. Turn down the phone, cover your clocks, and keep the lights dim. Put away your Judy Collins tape, razor blades and rainstorm sound machines. Get yourself in the proper mood. Accept that this party is over before it even begins, because when you are dealing with sick people, seldom does the evening ever gel into anything that could remotely be called a party. Make sure you have a complete first aid kit in your home. Make sure the address to your home is visible from the street so the ambulance can find it easily. Also good for the elderly. I recently stabbed myself in the nose with a 3-in-1 tool, and I didn't have an ice bag. I was forced to quickly create one by filling a dish towel with ice, cutting up a pair of pantyhose and tying together the loose ends to secure the ice on my face, bandit style. The one plus of my makeshift ice bag was that because it was fastened to my head, I could walk around with it and finish my scraping. If you do find you are in a situation where you need an ice bag, and you've neglected to make sure that one is in your kit, a frozen bag of peas will do in a pinch. This is also good to cradle between your legs for soreness. Most importantly, when entertaining the infirm, be prepared to listen. Whether your guest had a relationship that has just gone south or recent cranioplasty, they're gonna wanna talk about it. Take advantage of this time to do your own thinking. Sharpen your ability to look concerned while thinking of other things. Steer away from jolly drinks such as Singapore slings, daiquiris, or Mai Tais. You don't want anything too playful. Often these people want to spend some quality time dwelling on their problems, and they don't want to be reminded that there are happier things in life. You're going to have to go to their side of the room, the basement. It's good to serve comfort food, like Rice Krispie treats. Leave them on a table and don't push them too hard. They're there if your guest wants them. I will have my peanut bowl full, 25-cent cupcakes on the table, A nice jar of colorful candy, especially for ex-heroin addicts and alcoholics. They love colorful candy. And I'll put out lots of ashtrays. Keep a pack of cigarettes in your freezer, because these are the type of guests that will get even more depressed when they run out and there is no backup. They're apt to jump out a window. Avoid asking your guest a lot of questions such as, do you want another drink? Or, are you hungry? The last thing these people want to do is make a decision or be interrupted during the story you've heard for the fifth time. Food and beverages should just appear. Smell sells. I'll bake cupcakes an hour before my sick guest arrives so the house smells familiar and comforting, unless they've just broken up with a pastry chef. In that case, either serve flammable food or none at all. I also have a lot of fake meat displayed in my apartment. I find placing a sheet of tin foil on top is a good trick because they'll think it just came from the oven and it'll give them a very warm, cozy home feeling. Have plenty of tissues nearby, but don't make it obvious. Never encourage tears. One time I was in a car with a girl who was crying and driving at the same time. It was like driving in a rainstorm without window wipers. Never steal a sick person's pills. Apparently, it agitates a sick person when their limited stash of doctor-prescribed narcotics is missing. Even though you've been a gracious host, listened to their endless droning, and allowed them to stay way past an appropriate time, they scream at you over a few lousy pills. Granted, you never ask them for any compensation for putting up with them for the whole evening, but I think it's understood that there should be some. Hell, what psychiatrist is going to accept 4 or 5 Vicodin as payment for 8.5-hour session? I was offering them a bargain. If a person has a serious illness and cannot function without your help, it will be necessary to prepare a sick room. It is important to remember that most people feel uneasy spending time with someone they know is sick, especially if the person's illness is a mental illness. And this is unfortunate because sick people often feel abandoned and neglected. Once you yourself have experienced being sick and know what it's like to depend on someone else's help, you'll know exactly what to do when you get to play nurse. Long-term care. How to fix a sick room. When playing nurse to a long-term patient, you will want to set up a sick room. The sick room should be clean, attractive, and empty of small accessories that are distracting. If the room has a fan, attach colorful streamers to it so your patient can see them come alive. If you have a plant or flowers in the room, remove them at night so you can freshen them up in the morning. You don't want anything dying in the sick room. If you have a TV set, don't put it high up in the corner like a hospital. Make sure the TV has a remote. On the bedside table, there should be a bell to summon help. You can make your own bedside tea bell. All you need is a can with a lid. Place something in it like a button or a penny or a tooth. Put the lid back on and shake it when you need help. Your goal is to make your patient as comfortable as possible, and you can do that without draining your jars of money. You need fresh pillowcases every day because they can get soiled. The bed may need extra protection, so you might want to use a plastic or rubber sheet. It might be a good idea to make a waste disposal bag that you can hang on the side of the bed for used tissues, banana peels, or other disposables. The bag should be taken away every day and set on fire. If you don't have a bed tray and you want to feed your patient in bed, you can make one. Find a cardboard box that looks like it would be big enough to cover their hips. Cut out sections allowing the table to fit over the patient's body. Cut small holes on the sides for handles. You can decorate the box by painting it or covering it in sticky shelf paper or cotton balls. You can make a footrest by taking that same box and putting it at the end of the bed so they can rest their feet against it. When I see those little white paper cups for ketchup in fast food restaurants, I take a few. They're free. Next time you need an aspirin, try putting it in a small white cup before you ingest it. This will really make you feel like a sick person. Also, next time you're in a doctor's office, snag a few of those urine sample cups. They make great gifts and are fun to have on display in your bathroom. As far as food goes, you might be following doctor's orders, but regardless, try to make the food colorful and as easy to eat in bed as possible. Put something attractive on the tray, like a flower with googly eyes on it or a pine cone that has been dipped in glitter. Try to be as entertaining as possible, because if a sick person gets bored, they might try to entertain themselves, and often they don't have the strength to do this. Read to them. Give them audiobooks. Give them this book. Sharpen pencils. Decorate clothespins. Make jewelry out of potatoes and carrots. Toss a balloon back and forth. If your patient is a sick woman, you can boost her morale with lipstick and colorful nails. If your patient is a man, try a shave and a new hairstyle. Tips from Bettina. When you're going to see a doctor, wear loose-fitting clothes so it's easy to roll up your sleeves. When going to see a dentist, don't wear lipstick. A nurse told me once that patients tend to do better around the same time they were born. So if you were born at night, chances are you're going to feel better at night. Pez holders are fantastic for holding Vicodin. Just pull back the head and take what is being presented to you. Gift suggestions for the bedridden. Stamps. Sack of oranges. Change your medicine chest from herbal remedies to something that works. Fast-acting, no-nonsense pharmaceuticals. Sleep aids. Exchange valerian root for benzodiazepines. Muscle relaxants. Exchange lobelia for diazepam. Anti-anxiety. Exchange skullcap or kava root for alprazolam. Gypsy. It's easy to admire the lifestyle of gypsies, a colorful and spirited people with the ability to pull up stakes and hit the road at a moment's notice. Usually that notice is served by either the authorities or angry townspeople. For gypsies also tend to be filthy, dirty, thieving people. That's the word on the street anyway. When you are called upon to take your party on the road, be it to a picnic, a friend's house, or a relative stuck in bed, it helps to think like a gypsy. You must pack lightly, but efficiently. Just like a hobo, another lovable scamp, you'll need a completely portable party that can be wrapped in a handkerchief and tied to the end of a stick. You can never count on finding what you need once you arrive at your destination, so you must be covered. One time I lugged everything needed to prepare a 3-course meal to a friend's house, with the exception of cinnamon. She assured me that she had some. Soon after I arrived and started cooking, I discovered that what she thought was cinnamon was actually cayenne pepper. My rice pudding tasted like a sweet Spanish risotto. We still aren't speaking. Many times I go to people's homes to cook for them because they seldom cook for themselves. I never expect these people to have the things that they say they have. They could confuse a bay leaf with a vanilla bean only because they both come in jars. They might mistake shaved wax for coconut or mashed potatoes with ice cream. The list goes on. They are often clueless about the kitchen, so when cooking in other homes, be sure to bring knives, pans, ladles, cutting boards, foil, saran wrap, paper towels, and dish soap. Don't assume the butter they have in the fridge is fresh or actually butter. Bring your own fresh ingredients. Also think about the containers you're using. You might not want to put potato salad in a sandwich bag or use film containers for ketchup and mustard. This will make the food less desirable. Respect your food. Also, respect your containers. You don't want to put a stool sample in a coffee cup. If you are one of the people who doesn't know how to cook, and someone is coming over to your house to cook for you, be courteous enough to empty your sink of dirty dishes. Maybe straighten up the house a bit, and check that you have toilet paper. Gypsies and hobos don't ask for much. The stain box. When hand washing the delicates, add a half a cap of chlorine bleach to a basin full of creek water to keep the whites white. And now for one of my self-award winning recipes. Potatoes cooked in a tin can. Take one of the larger cans off your belt and fill it with some dirt. Find a potato, bury it in that dirt so the potato doesn't touch the sides of the can. Place on top of an open fire and cook for 45 to 55 minutes. This also works best when the can has a lid or some tinfoil placed on top. Another one of my self-award winning recipes. Hit the Trail Trail Mix. Mix any combinations of nuts, berries, and seeds to take on your journey. Place in bandana and tie to a stick. May also include chocolate morsels. The Nature Trail. Vodka is distilled from potatoes. Sassafras plant is used to make root beer. Mushrooms don't need sun to grow. The Spanish lady mushroom is called such because it resembles a flamingo skirt. It grows like a counter on trees. Snakes can't hear. Black snakes are nice. They eat rats and keep copperheads away. Worms don't have legs. Only female wasps can sting. Bears walk on their toes and heel. Moss always grows on the north side of the tree. Maplewood doesn't splinter. Rhubarb leaves make a light green-colored dye. Saffron makes the brightest of golds. Dandelion greens make magenta. If you form a teepee with your hands over your nose, you'll block your view and simulate the perspective of a prey animal's eyesight. Kind of. Sort of. In a way. Actors and gypsies are a lot alike. They always come sniffing around dinner time for a free meal or a glass of wine. Poison ivy. Leaves of three, let it be. Leaves of five will get you high. Gift ideas for gypsies. Compass, can opener, shoe inlays, hairpins, waterproof matches, trail mix, corkscrew. It's not your fault. Lice comb. Price Chompers. Growing up, every fall, my brothers and sisters and I would turn the basement into a movie theater and charge the children in the neighborhood 25 cents to watch The Wizard of Oz or To Kill a Mockingbird when they would be shown on television. We'd serve simple snacks and beverages and then kick everybody out once the movie ended. This laid the groundwork for what was eventually to become Price Chompers, a discount in-home movie theater experience. As far as I'm concerned, entertaining and television never go together. I immediately shut down if I'm at someone's house and a guest flips on the TV to catch the score or to see a favorite celebrity on a talk show. If the television is going to be on, then that should be the focus of the evening. The best part of Price Chompers is it's a wonderful way to entertain if you're not in the mood to talk. If you know a lot of people that you like, but have a hard time finding something in common with them, then watching a movie is perfect because it gives you something to talk about afterward. I like to have Price Chompers in the fall when the weather starts to change. This is the perfect time to turn my home into a discount movie theater. I always have a theme, and I plan to show at least a couple of films. If it's the month of October and Halloween is near, I pick scary movies. Or maybe I'll have a special selection of Jane Fonda movies and call it Jane Fondling Nights. I may even serve fondue. To prepare for Price Chompers, I set up my living room with comfortable chairs and get out my TV dinner trays. If you have a pull-down movie screen, that is great because it really gives the room a movie theater feel. I like to make my own movie tickets to sell to my friends at discount prices. Admission is open to all, although I do ask ticket buyers to arrive freshly shampooed because it's my experience that most discount venues tend to smell like dirty hair. As guests arrive, I dim the lights and play organ music to make their entrance seem dramatic. I set up an easel announcing what films will be screened and use my ironing board as a concession stand where I sell budget candy, popcorn, and drinks. Before the feature starts, I show appetizers to warm up the audience. This can be anything you've collected that can be projected and is only a few minutes long. It can be highlights from a family vacation, a clip from a favorite TV show, footage of an in-home operation, or something educational like propaganda films. After the appetizers program, I have a 5-minute intermission where I serve the type of meal that doesn't require one to see it to eat it. Remember, your guest will be eating in the dark. At the climax of the movie, just before the important facts are revealed, I like to start vacuuming just to remind the audience that this is, after all, a discount theater. These are a few of my favorite moments in movies that involve food. In the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, When Jane and her family are eating rice pudding out of bowls using wooden spoons, the sound the spoon makes against the bowl is one of my favorite sounds. I like to recreate it when I make rice pudding. In the movie Trilogy of Terror, it's obvious Karen Black's character knows nothing about cooking when she goes into the kitchen, takes out that cookie sheet, places some chicken on the sheet and cuts it up, and then puts the sheet in the oven and turns it on. The best example of pre-planning a meal is in Coming Home when Jane Fonda has John Voight over for dinner. The minute she walks in, she takes a blender of margaritas out of the freezer, blends it some more, pours it in pre-prepared chilled glasses, explains the device that has been cooking the meal all day, crockpot, and walks into another room where the table has been preset. A perfect example of what 15 minutes before a party is like for a hostess is in the opening of Mike Leigh's episode, Abigail's Party, for the British TV show Play for Today. A perfect example of unexpected guest is in the Cassavetes movie, A Woman Under the Influence, when Gina Rowlands entertains a table of firemen. And now for one of my self-award-winning recipes. Pumpkin pie. Directions are on the back of a can of pumpkin. Follow that. Make festive silhouettes using some cookie cutters. Place on the pie after it's been in the oven for 15 minutes. Clubs. I love clubs. Well, mostly I like starting them. I am currently the president of 4 clubs. As president, I've discovered one must be very selective when accepting members. Attempting to join one of my clubs is no different than trying to join a private country club. Sometimes there is a long waiting list. Occasionally, it's restricted. If you fail to get into one of my clubs, don't try to force your way in. Start your own club. If I am confident you are not going to be accepted into my club, you can be sure I am going to subject you to a lengthy, complicated application process. Because the only thing I like as much as starting up a club is sending encouraging rejection letters. Here is a sampling of rules a member of one of my clubs might have to adhere to. Non-refundable initiation fee. Regular and generous contributions to my vacation fund jar. No pets unless it's mine. No running unless you have scissors in your mouth. No horseplay. Must show pass. No radios, TV, or lyrics to listen to. Bring your own towels. No guests unless it's been okayed. No instruments. Bookshelf building ability. All long hair must be worn under a cap, especially if it's gray. What happens in the club must stay in the club. When I was younger, my clubs were a good place to learn how a true democracy worked. Everyone in the club had the freedom to voice an opinion, and the majority ruled. Now, I don't have time for democracy. The only way for a club to achieve anything is through a strict dictatorship. When the goal for the group is to create felt woodland creatures, an iron fist must produce the quickest results. Clubs are a good way to help strengthen weaknesses. If you are shy, join a club. If you want to read more, join a book club. If you want to manipulate people into doing free work and give you money towards your vacation fund, start a club, or in my case, a lot of them. One of my oldest current clubs is called the Crafty Beavers. We mostly spend time herbally enhancing our moods and then making things out of pine cones. Because the Crafty Beavers has a closed membership, I started a splinter club called Creative Daze, Daze. It is similar to the Crafty Beavers in that we spend a lot of time enhancing our moods and then making stuff out of pine cones. Anyone can start up a club. You need a president, a treasurer, refreshments, a space, and of course, members. It's also nice to have a mascot. The mascot for Creative Days is a worm named Montgomery. You also need bylaws and rules so you know how to punish those members who don't follow rules. Excommunication is often effective. Try to avoid starting clubs that are essentially just a hangout for divorced, bitter people. Let these people start their own club. I tried starting a sad sack club where members sat around discussing how sad they were feeling. The club was a huge success, and other people started talking, I quickly dissolved this club, sad. If your club is meeting at your home, it's important to provide some nourishment. I tried to serve dishes that are simple to prepare, don't take a lot of time to serve, and are easy to eat, so you can quickly get back to the club activity. For this reason, I like to prepare a meal that doesn't require knives and can be served entirely in individual large bowls. And rabbits. I have a rabbit. I don't want to say too much about it because talking about your pet is like talking about what you were doing at the age of 7 or your spiritual trip to India. No one really cares. It's like speaking on the phone with somebody while they're describing what their cat is doing. My rabbit is a big part of my life, and I like to include her in all my get-togethers. I know for people who don't have a pet, lavishing large amounts of time and energy on our four-legged friends might seem ridiculous. That doesn't stop me from making my rabbit the center of my focus. In fact, my apartment is completely designed around my rabbit. I have chosen paint colors based on their names alone: straw, dandelion green, carrot orange, leaf grass, marsh brown. My couch is covered with a clover leaf print. My liquor cabinet was built to resemble a small tree so that my apartment has a woodsy feel to it. My rabbit, Dusty, loves being scratched so much that for Valentine's Day, I went and had acrylic nails put on just so I could give her the ultimate massage. For Easter, she gets overflowing vegetable baskets and a tray of wheatgrass. For her birthday, she got wall-to-wall mushroom cap colored carpet in our bedroom. I even became an honorary rabbit educator. I have a badge and everything. This allows me to go to schools, sanatoriums, and homes to teach people about rabbits. If you have a pet and are going to entertain, it's important to make sure your home is free of that scent that sometimes accompanies our pets. Nobody wants to deal with an overbearing odor of a litter box just as they sit down to enjoy a fudgesicle. Make sure you have allergy medicine, preferably prescribed, in your cabinet just in case a guest is allergic. If a guest does have a reaction and their face puffs up, take advantage and grab a snapshot. You can use the photo along with the caption, "Have a swell Christmas," as a card, which you can send to all your friends during the holidays. If you, by any chance, happen to have a dead animal in your freezer awaiting a spring burial, remove it while entertaining. Ask the lady next door if she can store it in her freezer just for a night or two. Bunny facts. Rabbits can live 7 to 9 or 8 to 10 years. Face it, it's a crapshoot. Rabbits are not in the rodent family because, unlike rodents, they have a second set of upper incisors, peg teeth. Rabbits are prey animals, which means they are always thinking, "I'm going to be eaten." They can be literally scared to death, which is why rabbits and children are not a good combination. Rabbits are strict vegetarians. A rabbit's closest relative is the horse, but whenever they ask to borrow money, their phone calls are never returned. A rabbit's droppings are really easy to pick up. I don't even have to wash my hands afterward, and they are a great way to spruce up any salad. You will always need electrical tape for chewed up wires. Rabbits don't like loud anything. Rule number 6 in Girl Scouts is be kind to animals. Who wouldn't want their picture taken with a rabbit? Big ticket price item at dinner parties. And remember, whatever you charge for a single person, double it for a couple. My success story. Often it has been asked of me why I started my cupcake business. Well, the answer is my first rabbit, Tattletale. The day I brought her home, I looked down at her and I said, "You young lady are going to have to get a job if you want to stay here. Read the sign, no freeloaders." So I began selling my products in her name and I would take the profits and put them in her money jar. I would then use her money, allowance, for her room and board and toiletries, and then later it went toward a $1,500 hand-painted velvet-lined cedar coffin for her ashes. After my grieving process, a new rabbit hopped into my life, and I looked at her and I said, "You, young lady, are not going to be a trust fund bunny, living off Tattletale's jar money." So now I run the company in her name, Dusty, under new management, and started a new jar. I spent the rest of Tattletale's money on what I needed for my grieving kit. I later expanded my business from just cupcakes to include my own little smoky cheese ball, a combination of cheeses shaped into a ball and then rolled in nuts. And now for one of my self-award-winning recipes. Little Smoky Cheese Ball. You can buy my Little Smoky Cheese Ball at any gourmet garage in New York City. 2 cups of shredded smoked Gouda, 16 ounces of cream cheese, 1/2 cup of butter, 2 1/2 tablespoons of milk, 2 1/2 teaspoons of steak sauce, 1 cup chopped nuts. Bring all the ingredients to room temperature. Add milk and steak sauce to cheeses and butter and beat until completely blended. Chill overnight. Turn it into a ball the next morning. Roll it in the nut mixture. Serve it room temperature, spread on a Ritz. Another one of my self-award-winning recipes. Tattletales Vanilla Cupcakes. Turn oven on to 375 degrees. You will need unsalted butter, sugar, eggs, vanilla extract, baking powder, salt, flour, milk. Put 1 1/2 sticks of butter in mixer and beat at medium speed until somewhat smooth. Pour in 1 1/2 cups of sugar and beat well. Add 2 large eggs. I like to crack the eggs on the side of the bowl while it is moving, which can be really stupid. I like to take chances. Yes, I have had to throw away my batter because I lost eggshells in the mix. Yes, it was a waste of food. And yes, I know how expensive butter is. But what can I say? I'm a daredevil. Mix well. Add 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla, 2 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 2 1/2 cups of flour, and 1 1/4 cups of milk. Beat until it looks like it's supposed to, and pour into individual baking cups until they're about 2/3 full. Bake for 20 minutes, or until golden brown. It should produce 24 cupcakes. I get 18 because I am doing something wrong, although my cupcakes were voted second best in the city by New York Magazine. Another one of my self-award-winning recipes. Tattletales Vanilla Buttercream Frosting. In a bowl, combine 1 box of powdered sugar, 1 stick of unsalted butter, 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla, 1/4 cup of milk or light cream, and beat for a while. Really whip it. Don't be afraid to get in there. I occasionally add food coloring and sometimes substitute pure almond extract for vanilla. If you do choose to add pure almond extract instead of vanilla, you're on your own. I don't know the measurement for it, but I do know it's less than the amount of vanilla you would add. Proper rabbit housing. A cage should be at least 4 times the length of a rabbit when he is fully stretched out. This means about 4 feet long. It should be high enough to permit the rabbit to stand upright on his tiptoes and stretch upward. The cage floor should be flat and not made of wire. Wire-bottom cage floors can create and contribute to foot problems. Rabbits do not have padded heels the way people do. Their heel bone is directly up against the skin, like a human's elbow. Wire floors can cut into the heel and create a path for infection. If you have a wire-bottom cage, cover the floor with plain, clean, corrugated cardboard. For many reasons, fleas, ticks, parasites, extreme weather, predators, the safest place to keep a rabbit is indoors. And a 30-inch-high 4x4 puppy exercise pen makes an ideal indoor rabbit environment. A large dog crate with a metal or plastic pan floor is a suitable alternative. Using corrugated cardboard to cover the floor gives the rabbit something non-toxic to dig at and chew, and it is easily replaced whenever necessary. Outdoor cages or hutches must be carefully protected from the elements. Rabbits are extremely sensitive to high heat and humidity. Provide shade from hot summer sun and provide adequate shelter from wind, rain, snow, and ice in other seasons. In sub-freezing weather, check daily to make sure your rabbit's water is not frozen and provide plenty of hay or straw for bedding and insulation against the cold. Rabbits kept outdoors in wire-bottom cages or hutches are at especially high risk for fly strike. Feces that are permitted to accumulate on the ground under the hutch attract egg-laying flies. If there is any fecal matter stuck to the rabbit, this also attracts flies. The fly eggs hatch into maggots, which literally eat the rabbit alive. Rabbits kept outdoors should be checked frequently to make sure they are free of fecal material and maggots. Feces around the rabbit cage or hutch must be removed daily. Rabbits are, by instinct, immaculately clean. In an effort to keep their quarters clean, they will normally select one corner of the cage for urination and defecation. Identify which corner the rabbit has chosen and put a litter box there. The litter box should have sides that are 4 to 5 inches high. Line the litter box with a section of the newspaper and fill it with grass hay, such as timothy. Private cremation. Almost everyone has lost a pet at one time or another. I like the traditional method of burying them in the backyard, but I live in a city and I don't have a backyard. You can always flush them down the toilet, but make sure you are on good terms with your plumber because these things tend to go awry. I have now found what I consider to be a great way to not only dispose of a pet, but to memorialize them as well. First, have them cremated. Then, retrieve the ashes, place them into a customized grieving sack. You can make your own sack using felt and customize it according to your loss. Gift giving. Giving a gift can express many things. Congratulations, get well soon. Remember me? I'm so sorry. It will never happen again. Happy Secretary's Day. Happy graduation. Happy birthday. I didn't mean it. It was a spiced rum talking. The best presents come from the heart and say something simple like, I like you. No matter how hard you try, you cannot purchase affection with presents unless you are willing to drop some serious coinage. But you can show thoughtfulness and creativity. Sometimes the way you present a gift, say with genuine enthusiasm, is much more important than the amount of money you spend. Unless, of course, again, you are trying to buy someone's love. Then it's all about the price tag. The card you give along with your gift is important in the presentation. Did you just sign your name to a store-bought card? Or did you put a little effort in and make a card from scratch and write a little something personal? Gift wrapping is another chance to make your present unique. My younger brother wrapped all his presents in carpet one Christmas. Some people put very little energy into buying a gift and then use the excuse, well, it's the thought that counts. These lazy people tend to give gifts that end up in your hallway stairwell or on your reduced for quick sale display table. They're the same people who start their Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve and don't travel with an address book, any aspirin, or suntan oil. Money can make a nice gift, but once you start sending family members checks for their birthdays, you'll have to do it for the rest of your life because they will be looking for it for the rest of their lives. It's like feeding a dog from the table. A good way to give money is to donate to a charity of the person's choice. When friends say they want to donate money to a charity of my choice, I always suggest my vacation jar. I keep my vacation jar screwed under my kitchen cabinet above the sink, so when I wash dishes, I can stare at it and fantasize about all the places I might go and all the ways I can convince people to donate to it. Other creative ways to send money. A card pocket to hold dimes. A special envelope for paper money and checks. Offer someone a shopping spree. Make a coupon book full of passes and gift certificates such as movie or theater tickets, fast food gift certificates, or lotto tickets. Only older sisters give traveler's checks because traveler's checks are very practical. People who have lived through a war tend to give bonds. They never want to give up the fight. Make your own gift certificates like good for one back massage with full release, or good for one cheese ball, or I'll be your slave for a day. This is a good idea if you are low on money. If you have a friend or a loved one in the hospital and you want to assure that they will be taken care of, supply the nurses, especially the ICU staff, with baked goods, chocolates, or a crock pot of soup or stew. Re-gifting is tricky. This is when you receive a gift you don't like and then rewrap it and try to pass it off to someone else. Usually it's pretty obvious. Did you really think your aging aunt would appreciate those skates? Or your toothless cousin would enjoy the box of saltwater taffy? Compliments. If you can't afford a gift, give a compliment. This is an easy way to make somebody feel better. If someone gives you a compliment, accept it. Nobody wants to hear, "Don't tell me, tell my gynecologist." Or, "Thanks, but you're not exactly the Piedmont Times book review." Or, "Oh, please, I just rewired it." If you receive a gift and you don't have something in return, accept it graciously. Nobody wants to hear your backhanded compliments. "Thanks for the hook rug you made me. I don't know how you do it, Dale. I couldn't find any time to even think of gifts, what with all the work we're supposed to be doing on the Teasdale project. Well, I guess one of us has been slacking off, and the other one of us has a new hook rug." Gift suggestions. For a single man: identification bracelet, shiitake log, new strap for his sports watch, neck chain, blazer buttons or tools, sponges and socks, rock concert tickets. Gifts for a divorced man who works in an office: an easy to care for terrarium, placemats, frozen chicken thighs, the Holy Bible, paint chip wheel, hangers, oven mitts, comb. For preteen girls: gold balls for pierced ears, animal pin, colored cotton balls, stationery, subscription to a magazine, tin can bank, diary, apron with turtles on it, a book about horses. For a high school graduation: potted plants, bridge or guitar lessons, corkscrew, radio, hairdryer, money, wristband, instant camera. For a college graduation: evening scarf or fuck it bucket, briefcase, set of beer mugs, clam steamer or crock pot, new tires, wall clock, binoculars, belt, pen set with initials, address book. When going on trips with other people, bring your own address book if you want to send postcards. Nothing is more annoying than traveling with someone who didn't think of that. The point of sending a postcard is that you thought enough to bring their address with you. For a priest: cooked turkey and roast beef, color TV or calf stretcher, golf clubs, pistachios, pot holders. The best time to choose a color TV is on Saturday morning when the cartoons are on. That way you can tell which TV has the best color for your money. For a nun: TV set, suitcase, cheese, soap, sausage links, shower caps, raisins. Single girl in her mid-40s living alone: pink toilet paper, stamps. For early menopause: a pin made from a broken china plate, drapes or curlers, hand mirror, earring tree, rose lotion, rolling pin. Homemade children's gift ideas for a rainy day: iron leaves between two pieces of wax paper, make a matchbox puzzle, make your own flashcards, make your own disguise kit, homemade decoration for their school bags or pocketbook. Outline your initials in chalk first and then sew the buttons along the lines. Be careful when tossing it in the dryer because it can get noisy. For children: bank, wallet with pictures of scientists and movie stars, popcorn popper, paint set, breakaway china, inflatable briefcase, magnifying glass, box filled with old wigs, clothes, and character glasses. Push toys are great for two-year-olds. Housewarming gift ideas: keychain, band-aids, stamps and a stamp holder, flashlight with extra batteries, homemade bookends, timer or peppermill, phone book covers, personalized matches, wood-burning kit, scissors, clothesline, hard line in case of a blackout. Offer to clean the apartment or house before they move in or clean their oven. My brother did both of these things for me when I moved into my apartment and continues to clean my oven when he comes to visit me. Never bring a gift to an event where the recipient would be stuck carrying it around. They don't want to lug it around any more than you do. It's an inconvenience. Never give these: kittens, birds, sterling silver pine cones to struggling newlyweds, gag gifts, tan-colored socks, three turtles, sexy lingerie for your son's girlfriend, If you live with someone, don't buy them music if you don't want to hear it. Suggestions for gift giving. Send flowers to your mother on your birthday, a guaranteed teardropper. Make a list. I like to ask the people I will be giving gifts to for a list of things they desire. We always did this as children. My family still does. I never understood why people thought it was inappropriate after a certain point. It's helpful, and it prevents you from getting or giving someone a bullshit present. Lists are good to give to bad shoppers. Just because it's on a list doesn't guarantee anything, so you're still surprised. Also, if you are making a list and giving one to several different people, don't repeat an item on the list. You might want to cater it to the person you are giving the list to. You're not going to ask your 8-year-old niece for a check any more than you're going to ask your 80-year-old grandmother for some weed and a decent bong. Unless, of course, her connections are still good. Are they? If you owe someone money, give them something, even if it's just half the amount, just so the person who lent you the money knows you haven't forgotten your debt. Because trust me, they didn't forget about it. And never buy lenders a gift instead of giving them money. They don't want an expensive journal or a paperweight. They might not be into charities and scented candles. They want their money. Keep a record of what you have given people in the past so you can refer to it when their birthday rolls around again and you don't give them the same gift. In Girl Scouts, we would always get a name from social services of a family that was in need for a Thanksgiving dinner, and we would provide the family with a meal. Or for Christmas, we would give presents to the family using all our dues money. This is still a fantastic gift idea. Call social services and get the name of a needy family. If you are too busy or scared to go into poor people's neighborhoods, pay someone braver than you to deliver it. Don't make the mistake of telling people you collect something specific, like frogs or Star Trek paraphernalia, because once you do, you'll get them for the rest of your life. Most collectors like to seek these things out for themselves. That's the fun of collecting. And try to avoid giving drinkers liquor all the time, because if everybody follows suit, it actually makes them feel bad. Take good care of the person you have listed on a medical form as a contact in case of emergencies, because that's going to be a full-time job for them when that phone call does come. When I meet someone for the first time and I think that I'll be seeing them over a period of time, like a manicurist or cashier, I immediately ask when their birthday is and then go home and jot it down and never mention it again until it's their birthday. Make a quick association in your head until you get home. It's a nice surprise. This goes for any anniversary as well. Note: sometimes this backfires on me, especially if they weren't thinking of the anniversary of their mother's death. Then it changes everything.